It's Thursday in the first week of Advent. Welcome to today's AdventCast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. From Advent and Christmas with the Church Fathers. Often, when Catholics think of the Church, what comes to mind are only the professionally religious, the Pope, the bishops, one's local priest and pastor, and perhaps a habited sister or two. As necessary as these offices are, the Church is ultimately Christ alive in you right now. The Church is neither a building nor is it a reality reserved for some. The Church exists wherever one assents to Jesus as ultimate Lord. That is why the Greek and Latin for church is ecclesia, a word meaning to be called, kaleo, out, ex, of the world and into the divine life. This call is not just an impromptu nudge. In the Bible, this is the word used when Moses is called nearer the burning bush. What awakens Samuel as the Lord rouses him from sleep deep within the temple. It is the word used for a divine purpose and a plan for one's life. You, too, have been called to own this truth as well. Like the better-known heroes of the Christian story, you, too, have a place and a role to fulfill. It might be husband or wife, mother or father, son or daughter, friend, colleague, community member, and so on. And that is what Advent is preparing us to see. Perhaps Advent is the Christian time for paradox, the Church's way of preparing us to see how a God who cannot be contained by the heavens is now securely safe in his mother's womb, how the sting of death will be remedied through the vulnerability of a newborn, how the Omnipotent will reveal himself simply to melt our hearts and hope we fall in love with him. At the heart of this love affair stands Mother Mary and her immaculate fiat that graced, "Let it be done," however the Father wills to save his good creation. From Advent to Epiphany by Father Patrick Troadec. After the description of the precursory signs at the end of time, St. Luke speaks of the return of Christ on a cloud. This cloud will be like that of the day of the Ascension. In fact, it is written in the Acts of the Apostles that Jesus will come down in the same way that he went up to heaven. Today, let us meditate on the reasons why God the Father gave his Son the power to judge us. According to Holy Scripture, the Father does not, in fact, judge anyone, but he has put all judgment in the hands of the Son. We will be judged by the holy humanity of our Lord, for it is by that humanity that our redemption was worked, by it that we have the unimaginable grace of entering heaven. It is therefore fitting that we be judged by our Lord in his humanity, he who snatched us out of the claws of the devil and allowed us to merit heaven. Moreover, it is fitting that we be judged by the humanity of our Lord so that justice be given him. Reparation has to be made for the iniquitous condemnation of Jesus under Pontius Pilate. The man was judged, the man will judge. Our Lord, wrongly condemned, will himself condemn those truly guilty. Finally, St. Augustine gives a third motive explaining this choice of our Lord as judge at the end of time. Our Lord will appear in his humanity so that the good and the wicked may both see him. Indeed, the vision of God face to face is reserved for the just, according as it is written, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." Knowing that I will be judged by thee at the moment of my death and at the last judgment, I wish today, O Jesus, to open my soul to thy grace in order to prepare myself to welcome thee with joy and with love as my Savior on the beautiful feast of Christmas.